Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. All you brave people that got up and got outside in the wind and the cold. I know I walked my dog this morning, and walking north towards the towards Aurora Parkway was like going uphill into the wind both ways. So it was really cold. Welcome to our church, and as you notice, it was very calm this morning in the church because Betty's not here. Thank you, Tom. When I say Tom, about 10 people will stand up, won't they? Betty's at 9 Health Fair, so I'm filling in for her this morning. I'll have nobody to hang on to during the hymn, so watch out. Let us open our service with a word of prayer.
It's great to see so many people here this morning. We were a little afraid because of the weather we wouldn't have this many, but I think there's as many or more than last week, so we welcome you here. As we pray, I'd like to draw your attention to our prayer list. There are just so many that I cannot mention them all. It's not quite the senior print that it was last week when we couldn't read it, but it is on both sides of here. We have some of our sick people who have returned to us, and we're thankful. We have some who are going in for surgery this week, and we pray for their successful surgeries. But now let us bow our heads and pray for our church. Heavenly Father, bless this little church as we come and try to learn your words and do your deeds. Let your light shine through each one of us. And let us all listen to Bruce as he brings us the message this morning. Open our hearts and our minds so that we may receive it as well as with our ears. And then let us go out and do good deeds for the rest of the week. We pray for Betty, and we hope that our 9 Health Fair has a successful season this time. It does such a great service for our communities. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Tom. This morning, to open with our little Sunday funnies, and maybe you won't think this is funny, I don't know. but Bruce should, you know, relate to this. A little boy was watching his father, who was the pastor of the church. He was watching him write his sermon. "How do you know what to say?" the little boy asked. And the father replied, "Well, God tells me." The little boy looked at him a minute and said, "Then why do you keep crossing things out?" It's cold in here. If you don't have a coat, you may want to keep something there, but let's stand up and sing. That'll warm us up a little bit here.
This morning between two prayers, one more traditional, one more perhaps personal. And I wanted to see what God would tell me to do. And he said, go with the more personal one. So here we go. Beautiful God, the Father, why do you forgive us? We shout praises to you and we sing worship. With the same tongue, we curse other people that are made in your image. Think of driving. Why do you forgive us? We say we love you and we still keep sinning. Why do you forgive us? We spend time in prayer thanking you for your blessings and then we refuse to bless others. Why do you forgive us? We read our Bibles when we can find the time. And then we also read other nonsense that is offensive to you. Why do you forgive us? We praise your son Jesus for his death on the cross for the atonement of our sins and then we nail him to it every time we trespass against you. Why do you forgive us every single time? I am so thankful for your endless supply of forgiveness. I can't fathom how you do it, and I am only one person. You do this for every single person. The compassion and the grace and mercy that flow from you is absolutely amazing, and I love you for it. Thank you so much for forgiving me every time I sin. You are truly worthy of being praised. In your name we pray. Amen.
It's time once again for us to sing a hymn, and we get to stand and get our blood circulating again in this cold room. So please stand with me now, and we'll sing Immortal Invisible.
Scripture today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 28 to 36. Many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news, and this benefits you, Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God. But when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you so that they too will share in God's mercy. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he could have mercy on everyone. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen.
It's time in our service now for us to give back a little by giving our tithes and our offerings to God. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below.
Let us pray. We thank you all, Almighty God, for your blessings. We thank you so much for all that we have. And now that we give back to support our church here in our community, in our city, and in our world. Amen.
I can't take a heart that's broken, make it over again. But I know a man who can. I can take a soul that's in sin, make it white as the snow. But
our sermon series for this spring, for the next few weeks, was going to be God's plan for us. But this morning, before we go into God's plan for us, let's take a look at God's character, the planner. He is the planner. We live in an ever-changing world, don't we? The volume of knowledge that we have is increasing at a tremendous rate. We start with the sum of knowledge of the time Jesus lived, and it took until Leonardo da Vinci in 1500 to double the amount of knowledge in the world because it was so slow, writing on papyrus and carving out things on stone and memorizing facts and figures. Knowledge doubled again in the time of the American Revolution in 1776. Doubled again in 1900, then doubled again in 1950, and again in 1960, and you could see this curve going. The knowledge that we have is tremendous. Experts now believe that everything is going to double every 18 months, and what's going to happen then? No wonder we're all so confused. There's so much to learn. We'll never catch up. We'll never be able to cram all that into our little heads. No wonder we forget. Just too much to remember. It keeps on coming and coming and coming. Passwords, things to do, people to contact. If I didn't have my trusty electronic calendar, I would be lost. Sometimes I'm lost even with it. Many of us have just thrown up our hands and said, I've had enough. I'm not using emails or computers. In fact, the Wirtz family is not using anything electronic on Sundays. Is that right? Tom, I think that'll last for a week or two. Our grandchildren routinely play with electronic devices that we could never have never dreamed of and can't even begin to use. How do they do that with their fingers going so fast on these devices? Wow, it's amazing. with instant messaging and Skype and email, social networks like Facebook and Twitter. We can communicate with anybody in a matter of seconds. We're very impatient when email gets logged down and doesn't go out. We even talk to our phones. Call Betty, and it'll call you. We talk to our car, turn on the radio, and it turns on the radio. No more U.S. Postal Service taking 2 or 3 days to deliver a message. We want it now. In fact, whenever you buy anything, most of the time it says free delivery, overnight shipping available at a nominal cost, because we want things now. We are a now society. When we turn on the TV, we watch the crisis in the Middle East or something happening with the royal family, the latest terrorist activities. We see so many details, sometimes too much, because very often on the news it will say, you know, have your children leave the room, or we're not going to show this because it's too graphic. We do live in amazing times. Look at that word, amazing. Amazing. It's a maze. We take for granted the advances in technology over the last 25 years. GPS, for example. When we play golf, we know exactly how far it is to go to the hole. We know in our car, we just say, go to Don Nuss's house, and it'll take me right there. Just follow, turn right, turn left, and a voice that's very annoying usually. But nothing that matters has changed. The essential things have not changed. I have, for example, on this little device, it's called a phablet. It's a phone and a tablet combined, a little bit bigger than a phone, a little bit smaller than a tablet. 27 versions of the Bible on this, and the Bible in 200 languages in this device. I can look it up. I can look up any version, and also in 200 languages, which I can't read, but they're there. Well, if I took all those books, it would take a U-Haul to tow behind me wherever I went. But here it is in something less than 2 pounds. Amazing technology. In fact, we'll be sitting down talking about something, and Betty said, well, find out the answer to that, and I'll just say, you know, tell me the size of the nation of Jordan. And it'll say, the nation of Jordan has so many million people. It's just amazing what has happened. We can translate the film series AD into many, many languages so quickly. But the message is still the same. The world is changing, is change. It will be changing faster and faster as we get older and older. But yet again, the Word of God is different. The packaging of the Word of God, whether it's in here or in a Bible that you carry around with you, has not changed. The Israeli, the Jews, all need to know Jesus as Savior. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's important for you to know him too. The Lebanese, the Syrians, the Iranians, the Palestinians, the members of Hezbollah, and the militant Muslim Brotherhood group, and of course the millions of atheists across the world, there's ISIS as well, that need to know him, the way, the truth, and the life. Christians, we might disagree on the events in the Middle East, but let us say that the deepest striving of our heart is to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, we're looking at the immutability of God. The immutability of God. That's an unusual word. You've heard of mutations, which means change. Immutability means no change. It means that God does not change in his basic character. There are several ways that God expresses his truth, and these don't change. His purposes don't change. His purpose is to love us. He never grows in knowledge or wisdom because he has it all. How can you gain more wisdom or knowledge if you have it all? He never differs from himself. His character doesn't change. It's always the same. He never improves upon his own perfection. He never grows or develops or in any respect. He is the essence of everything. We can never say never or always about God, but our interpersonal relationships, we have to be careful of the word always or never. For example, Betty, you always leave that closet door open. And she could say, oh no, 3 weeks ago I closed it. There are things about me, but she's not here, so I can pick on her. But God, there are things about God that are always. God is always wise, sovereign, just, good, just, holy, merciful, and grateful. Always. Always. There are no sometimes attributes of God. All of his attributes are always. He is always what he is, a perfect God. One of the hymns we sang this morning says, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, and thou hast been, thou forever will be. Well, this portion of the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, which we're going to sing. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but nothing, naught changes God. He doesn't change his mind. He's always the same. The Bible says in Samuel 15, he who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind. Malachi says, I, the Lord, do not change. James 1 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, who does not change like shifting shadows. Eugene Peterson in the Message says, a colorful rendition of Romans 11, God's gifts and God's call are under full warranty, never canceled, never rescinded. God doesn't take back the gifts he has given. That's for sure. Today, if an Israeli Jew becomes a public follower of Jesus, he will be ostracized from his family. What a difficult thing that is to do. He'll be shunned. Paul, writing in the New Testament, he wrote over half of it. He was out in the trenches. He wasn't just sitting on a throne theorizing, but he writes for a broken heart. He was in jail. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten and eventually he was beheaded in Rome. We ask that God grant that we might love the Jewish people and pray for them, and ask God to hasten the day, as it says in Romans 11, when all Israel will be saved. How do we know this is going to happen? Because Paul said the prophets predicted it. All the prophets predicted it. And because God has chosen them, their chosen people, the Israelites, are God's chosen people. The Jews are both enemies and beloved. They're enemies because they don't accept the Messiah. But they're beloved because God loves everybody, no matter what. God loves everyone. God made the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that they would become part of his kingdom. In every close relationship, if it lasts long enough, there will come a time when someone you love hurts you deeply. This will happen in any relationship, in marriage, in children, friends, colleagues. Even in church it happens. Some of the biggest splits in churches have become because of personality differences. I haven't seen that yet. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Our closest friends can disappoint us over and over again. And sometimes we disappoint them with the way we act. Parents and children may come to a parting of the ways even though they love each other dearly. So often in this world we have beloved enemies, don't we? Beloved enemies. That's how God regards Israel in this present age. God doesn't cancel his call. His promises are under warranty. God doesn't get back his gifts. It's a bumper-to-bumper warranty that God gives us without question. It doesn't expire. His promises don't change. His purposes don't change. The plans for the Lord stand firm forever, Psalm 33. The Lord Almighty, surely I plan, and so it will be. God's character does not change. He doesn't have good days or bad days. All of his days are good, aren't they? He doesn't treat us according to the whim of the moment. God, the Bible calls him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the same God then, now, and forever. Don't forget that. God is with you. He doesn't change. What a friend we have in Jesus, says Do we have trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Should we never be discouraged? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. He's a faithful friend. If you listen to us once, he'll listen to us again. Every time you pray to him, God will listen to you. He will answer you. That's now what it doesn't mean, immutability. The sermon wouldn't be complete with talking about one of the major problems with the doctrine of God's immutability. Now, there are some very astute theologians in this congregation, such as Nancy Taishu, David and Lynn Ramsey, Gene Daniels, Dan and Carol Johnson, Sue Daniels. They keep me on my toes. You know, it's very often after a service, somebody will come up to me and say, but, what did you say about that? What about those verses that God said, God changed his mind, or God was repentant or sorry? For example, in Genesis 6:6, God saw what he had created, and he was sorry that he did that. So the flood came and wiped out humanity. He started all over again. We might say that God is immutable, but God is not immobile. God does things. He is immutable. He doesn't change, but he is mobile. He responds to changing conditions. For example, a father dealing with children. When they obey, they experience his pleasure. When they disobey, they experience his displeasure. Same thing with God. God is not pleased with everything that we do. He's always the same Father with many sides to his character. God has so many perfect sides to his character, like a well-cut diamond. So since we are so changeable, shouldn't be surprising that God changes in his reaction to us. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. The difference that this doctrine makes in practical terms is that this doctrine is very bad for rebellious sinners, because God is the same always. His nature does not change. He doesn't become less holy, less sovereign. God can't forget anything. He remembers everything you've done. He's got this huge computer, I guess, in his mind that has everything stored and saved. He's the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God. That's why John 6, it says, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. God says, you come to me and I'll take you in. I'm not going to cast you out. Sometimes you must decide, because you can't sit on a fence forever. You know, making no decision about God is the same thing as saying no, isn't it? This is the same thing as saying no. Taking a phrase from Billy Graham, the hour of decision. That is an hour of decision. If you say nothing, it's no. If you say yes, then it's a yes. That's what it means to be a Christian. So are we going to risk our eternity because we decide, I'm not sure what we're going to do, but then who knows how long we're going to live? Isn't that true? To the end, Jesus says, come unto me. Trusting in Christ as your Savior can make all the difference in your world today and tomorrow, especially tomorrow, because I'm not worried about tomorrow. I don't think a lot of people here are worried about tomorrow, because we know what's going to happen. Read the prayer of salvation in our bulletin if you have any questions. I know there are some people that have questions here. The words, just words to some, but salvation and everlasting life to others. Reading that and becoming a follower of Christ will change your life forever. And we confess that faith in the Apostles' Creed. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As we prepare to take communion, let's stand and sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread and broke it, blessed it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." And after they had finished eating, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As I mentioned earlier, we have so many things to give thanks for, so many people who are healed. We're glad that Ellen was back with us today. But you might keep Bill Myers and Pat in your prayers, because he goes in for surgery tomorrow. And so, you know, they're very dear to this church, and we need to keep them in our prayers. Say a special one for them tonight. And now let's sing our last hymn, and let's stand as we sing God Leads Us Along.
Here? Yeah, there she is. Doris Moore is back. After many months, she's back here with her daughter, and we're glad to see her back. One of my many girlfriends. Yeah. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah.